Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. Hi, I'm Daniel Lim, your host. Today, you'll be joining me as we explore what are the key elements that influence the dynamic of a vibrant team. Joining me today is Blair Phillips. Blair is about 25 years old, but he has already got a lot of leadership experience under his belt because of the journey he has undergone with the One Thing Global Leadership Summit. And you have traveled quite a bit around the nations too, you know, meeting with leaders and all that. I'm excited that you're on this podcast with me today as we explore some vital elements that are involved in fostering a vibrant team culture.
Yes, Daniel, you have given both my wife and I valuable opportunity to have these experiences both with the Leadership Summit and a lot of the international travel opportunities to experience the kingdom of God. And so I am excited for the discussion today.
And in this dialogue, I want to be really candid. I want to draw our audience into some real hard conversation. I'm talking about not just the heart level conversation, but difficult conversation.
Okay.
Because leadership involves a lot of challenges, and forming a vibrant team culture involves a lot of authenticity. We heard of word like transparency in leadership. We heard of word like vulnerability in leadership. And talk about this, Blair, as a 25-year-old who has a number of years of experience in leadership, how important are those words, being authentic, being transparent, vulnerable? Do you appreciate working in such a team culture?
Yeah, I think what it all boils down to is mutual relationships of trust. I mean, for me to operate at my full capacity, I have to feel safe. And for that, I have to know that the person sitting across from me is being authentic. And then within myself, to operate fully, I have to be authentic with the person across from me. And so the value of that, I think, is extremely high that I've experienced in these last few years, even with the One Thing Global Leadership Summit and the great team that we've gotten to work with. We've really trusted each other, and I think that's been a huge component to it.
Well, without trying to paint a rosier picture than it is real in front of us, I would say that we face many challenges too, because we have a very gifted team of people.
And we are all internationals.
Sometimes there are cultural elements involved.
Yeah, sometimes I'm the only American sitting in the room.
You are only native born in the room. We have people from Latin America, from Europe. The entire team is actually made up of
Asian,
European, Canadian.
Canadian.
We have two Canadian on the team.
Yes.
So it's wonderful that we have a composite of multicultural young leaders that help us facilitate this One Thing Global Leadership Summit. Now, I wanted to actually go down to this very key issue here. When young leaders are looking for authentic leaders, what they're saying to us is they want to know the people on their team. They want to know their leaders. They want to be known by their leaders. Mm-hmm. If you remember, maybe in previous podcasts or my previous presentation, I have this four-quadrant reality, the Johari windows, where you have the open space where other people know about you and you know about yourself, where it's a public sphere where people can interact with you. And then you have the private sphere where other people do not know that aspect about you, but you know it very well. And then you have the blind spot where everyone is aware of that dimension of your life, but you're not aware of it. Mm-hmm. And then you have the completely hidden reality where it's not known to you and not known to others. You're familiar with that. But
yes,
the whole that I find that to be very useful because it helps us to explore and get to know one another and communicate deeper. And today, this conversation is an added dimension to that. Because I discover that as the team is formed, especially an international team and a team of variety of giftings, a lot of time, in order to know and understand and receive each other accurately, we must consider these four vital elements when we get to know the other person on our team. Like I'm sitting across the table with you, and I look at you and say, Blair, I understand that you are native born in America in the Midwest. That's your culture, but you have a unique personality, which is different from your two other brothers. Your two other brothers have worked with me before in different period of their time, you know? And so, but you're different from them in your personality. And then your calling demand you to receive a certain measure of grace from the Lord with spiritual gifting and anointing. And then you have a level of maturity that because of your obedience to the Word of God and you have been transformed into Christ's likeness in a certain measure. Mm-hmm. So the combination of these four factors is what I experience from you every moment. Your spiritual gifts, your personality, your cultural expression and your background, and then the maturity, the fruit of the Spirit.
So those are a great variety of dynamics. What would you say has the biggest weight?
Now, you ask a very interesting question. Right now, we are in a very relaxed environment. You are not under pressure. And you are on home ground right now because we're in Kansas City. It's Midwest.
Yes.
So you have home field advantage. It's you're true. Eating your own food.
Yeah.
You're not needing to adjust yourself for a cross-cultural dynamics. So you're probably very comfortable to express your personality. Right? However, because now we're operating on the podcast, you are in a certain mode to deliver a message. So a certain aspect of your gifting might come forward. For example, you have the gift of teaching. So you may come across perhaps more systematic in your presentation. Yeah. If someone were to listen to the podcast right now, they will experience your gift expressed through your personality, whether it's loud, soft, gentle, you know, different personality, and then whether you're witty, you're funny, that's your personality, but it comes forth to deliver a purpose that is tied to the purpose of this podcast. And your so your gifting is at play, your personality is expressed, the culture is probably not very dominant here because you are in a very relaxed mode, and everyone who's listening, most likely will have a same cultural background with you unless this podcast has been listened to by people internationally. So I would say that how dominant each of those elements is depends on the setting
and the situation.
For example, a very gentle person who has been trained in military training, under a certain pressure, when the person is sent to the front line on the war zone, he might not look very gentle at that point of time because there is a profession and a function that he needs to perform. But when he's not there, perhaps he's just like a very quintessential gentleman, you know. And so it depends on the context. And so, like for example, let's say I give you an example. Let's say there's a prophetic woman.
Okay.
And the prophetic woman right now is in a setting where, a cultural setting where a woman are not encouraged to prophesy in public. That is the predominant cultural setting.
Okay.
Maybe in a certain region of the world where, yeah, the woman can prophesy, but maybe they would prophesy on the side, not on the microphone, on the platform.
Okay.
And even in a church tradition. I'm not commenting whether that's right and wrong. I'm just saying that there's a cultural setting. So, and if the same woman who is in the Pentecostal, charismatic, Western culture will probably get on a microphone and express herself, maybe even sing and prophesy very loudly with boldness, in that setting, maybe someone will experience that woman of God as very gentle, you know, on the side, just whispering. And so if you do not know that woman and you only met that woman for the first time, you would think that the woman is predominantly soft-spoken, gentle, whispering on the side, and a little timid. So the real personality of the person is not fully expressed in that setting because there's a cultural restraint.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Yeah.
But then under a different cultural setting, the anointing come upon the woman of God. The woman could be singing, prophesying very loudly on the microphone. It depends, and depend on the gifting. Some gifting demands a projection of voice, and some gifting does not. And so the same gifting under different personality, under different cultural setting, and also maturity. The
maturity is big.
Yeah, because maturity is actually the most important driving force here. Because the maturity and the fruit of the Spirit champion love at all setting. It's like we can prophesy with tongues of angel, we can have faith that move mountain, without love with nothing, the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 13. So when love is in the driver's seat, then it's not personality that is driving. You're not experiencing the person's full force of the personality because it's now governed by love. And then you're not experiencing the full restraint or release of the culture either, because love prevails over cultural restraint and cultural empowerment.
But yet you have the giftings operating with
within that setting of love. So the understanding of these four elements is kind of challenging, because even in the corporate world today, most of the time people do personality profile testing. Even they do that in marriages when couples come together. You know, you do the Myers-Briggs or the DISC test, or myriads of different personality tests. So to see the compatibility of two individual or team. And then now multinational corporations are more conscious about doing cultural sensitivity training. So you add culture on top of personality, then you have two dimensions. It's so complex. But if we really want to do this right in the body of Christ, we have to study all four elements. Because it's not just personality, it's not just culture. As a born-again believer, our spirit is alive, so we are heading towards transformation into Christ's likeness. So maturity is very key. And then on top of that, there's the operation of the anointing at the moment where the spiritual gifts operate. You know, a timid person can become bold, you know, and a bold person under restraint of love can become very, very gentle, soft, and then people could mistake it. That's his personality. That's her personality. No, that's not necessarily the personality. That's love in action.
So what I'm hearing you say is that we have to be God aware to operate in love, and thus the gifting of the Holy Spirit, and also the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the maturity aspect. But we also have to have a very keen self-awareness of our own personality, our own self, but also the awareness of our situation and our surroundings to really operate in a, well, that's a high standard for to walking leadership.
Okay, so let me paint you another picture. You have a whole team, a leadership team that have run with you for several years now. Okay. You're growing in depth of relationship towards one another. It's exciting. You're getting to know one another. You're laboring together in love. And everybody comes to the meeting. You almost kind of know one another. Some people come in, they're culturally conscious. Some people come in, they're very conscious of the gifting. Some people, they wear their personality on the sleeve. You can predict that. And then you have some people that are more matured, then they always try to figure out how to facilitate to see the maximum fruits in that the team is supposed to deliver. So you have all kinds of dynamics on that little group of four or five or even 10 leaders that you have. They all believe in the core mission of the organization. They all believe that we're going on the same direction together. But they come in and they bring their distinctive dominating influence into their midst. Okay? And we all have our blind spot. We don't know how we are contributing to the team. So there is actually, in the next podcast, I'm going to explore a little bit more. I like our audience stay tuned, which is something called neutral contribution, negative contribution, and then dominant contribution. These three dynamics actually of different ones actually cause there to be a corporate team, the formation of corporate team culture. because the team culture is shaped mostly by dominant contribution of individual member. Sometimes you can have 10 people on the team and you have one dominant member that shape the entire culture of team. Not that the other people is not, their giftings are not flowing in, their personality is not expressed in the team, or their culture is not shaping the team culture. It's because the one or two or maybe one singular dominant personality is shaping majority of it and suppressing the other reality. So what should we do? There is no perfect formula. We got to discern what the Lord is doing with the team and allow some of the thing that's recessive, that's hidden, to be pulled out, and some of the thing that is dominating in an ungodly way to be restrained. Now, whether it's cultural dominance, you know, cultural dominance, it could be a gender-based, it could be really language-based, it could be region-based, geography-based, it could be anything, you know, and so, or
the it could be personality.
Personality, or it could be gifting dominance, you know, and let's say, for example, you have a group full of teachers. I like to make a joke when you want to have any kind of a ceremony when you have a room full of gifted teacher and preacher, that ceremony is going to be very long because everybody thinks that their 3 to 5 minutes talk is not enough. Everybody will go over because they have that gift.
Yes.
You know, and they all have a great, they all have great things to say.
Yes, they do.
So, and when you run a meeting, if everybody turn that their contributing time of ideas or discussion into a mini preaching and teaching session, then we have a problem.
Yeah.
So how do you restrain that reality to not allow that to be the only dominating gift operating in the room? And I'm nothing against teaching, but like even prophecy, you can go from dream to vision the whole meeting, and then the potential process and business dimension is not done.
Yeah.
So it's basically a balance between empowering and restraint guided by the Holy Spirit.
Within the team dynamic.
Yes. And all that we talk about, even the last 10, 15 minutes, is to help us understand each of our team members better and not stereotype them so quickly based on their cultural background or their personality or their giftings. Because human beings, we are composite of this beautiful element.
And we change over time.
We change and we grow over time.
And experiences.
And under different setting, different element within us actually come forth. You know, and I've observed it so many times. Sometimes there's one or two dominant factor in the group. And when those dominant factor that is brought in by one or two personality is not in that meeting or not in that setting, all the other recessive giftings or personality or culture come forth in a very easy way. When that one or two dominating element or personality is in the room, you can only feel one person setting the stage for everything else.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how one or two people can shape the culture of the entire team. And so in building healthy team life and vibrant team life, we have to pay attention to all this reality.
Well, Daniel, I know that anybody who's listening to this who has led in any way a group of people or even been a part of a team understands some of those dynamics and can now reflect back even and see those dynamics of that dominating figure and that when that figure or that circumstance or cultural aspect has been restricted or removed, then more things from others are contributed. And so I'm excited to talk with you more in the next podcast about how some of those practical principles and practices to make a healthy team dynamic with the individual contributions of everyone flow.
Now, we will include in this podcast some slides from the One Thing Global Leadership Summit that has some visual infographics on what we talk about here. And I want to really encourage you to submit some questions, some real practical questions, for because we talk about how we need to multiply ourselves to form a team. And that team need to be vibrant, and they need to know that they are more than just functional member of the team. They belong, and they are known by other team members and by their leaders, and they know their other team members and they know their leaders. And I really find that a relationship that's more than just transactional within the team, is the most valuable one. It transcends the time when they are just laboring together. It's fun to have relationship like that.
So real quick, before we close, give us 3-4 things, just bullet points of practical ways to build that relationship in the authentic environment.
I would say as a leader, I would say from two different dimensions. One is from a leader's dimension. The other one is for team member dimension. Even though the entire group might be a leadership team, but there's still one or two key leaders that lead everybody else. If you are in that key leadership position, chairing the group or leading the group, I would want to encourage you to slow down and not so quickly put people in the box and stereotyping based on their behavior, because their behavior could be a response based on the culture, based on the maturity at that point of time, their personality, all their spiritual giftings. I would encourage you to take time to get to know them in all these different elements, especially if they're working closely with you for a long period of time. This is worthy cause for investment. Now, if you are part of the team member, I would say the same thing. I would say that even if you observe repeated behavior of other team members or your leader, do not so quickly stereotype them and identify some personality, reality, and also maturity. And all I'm trying to say is avoid trying to call people name in your mind first. Because love bears all things, believe all things. We are all in a transformation journey right here. So our hope is that the team that formed together will help iron sharpen iron and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit and cause us to be more like Jesus. Well, I'll just leave one on each side for now
due
to limitation
of time. Thank you for that.
We'll see you in the next podcast. Yeah.